You're not a slave anymore. I don't want to say you're just not a slave to sin. You're not a slave to fear. You're not a slave to anything. God has the foothold. So y'all just give it up one more time for our worship team. I'm so excited that they're for what they do, setting the stage for all of us to just be open-minded. As we say here, open hands, open hearts. We just want to receive what God has for us today. And before we get started, I got a couple of announcements. But first, I just want to welcome our first-time guests. If y'all could, just honor them. There's a lot of people here today and a lot of faces I've never seen. And also, if y'all would take the time to welcome the folks that have joined us online. We're so excited that you've joined us. For wherever you're at, on your couch, driving in the car, or whatever it may be. I was actually that guy last week. I had military stuff, but I just want to take the time and honor Micah and Scott as well. Man, y'all brought the house down. Challenge me, and I hope it challenged each and every one of y'all to just step into prayer. Prayer's huge. It goes a long way. And I'd like to say that my message here today, and I'm going to use Micah's words real quick. You can zoom that out because it is it's a wandering day, as he says. I'm gonna steal his line. But it is. I'm just so excited to be here. I'm so honored, and we wouldn't be doing this correctly if I didn't take the time to honor our lead pastor. I don't even know how to use this stand, but he let me be up here anyways, guys. I don't know if, amen, now I can hide behind it. But I want to take the time, if y'all could just stand and give a round of applause for our and just honor our pastor. He's in this house today, amen. He didn't ask for any of this, he didn't ask for any of it, but he deserves it. And I'm just honored that I get to serve alongside of you, just the leader that you are, and what you do for us, our church. And I'm going to try to not get emotional. I was actually praying the other day as I was thinking about this. And, you know, when I get asked to speak, you know, I really go into detail. The whole week I start thinking about it. Like, okay, you know, and he asked me several weeks ago, so I had a lot of days to think about it. And I was actually driving to Birmingham, or actually to Troy, last week for military stuff. And I just got to think, you know, just thinking. And then I just started thinking about him. And, you know, it's hard not to think of everything. You know, it's hard not to be in that moment. You know, I'm not a crier. I don't cry, to be honest with you. I mean, I may sometimes if I do. What is going on with this thing? But I don't cry often. And, man, I just couldn't stop. And there's something that is just brewing in this church because of his leadership. And there's something that we're doing in this community because of the man that he is. And it is Pastor Appreciation Day. And I'm so excited to just share the stage with him and just to follow along in his footsteps. I mean, he's challenged me. I don't have a degree in this. I don't have no theory. I don't know anything about theology, to be quite honest with you. I'm not a doctor. I don't know doctrine. I don't know any of that. But I know that I'm qualified. Yes, that's right. And he sees that in me, and it gave me the opportunity to be able to stand up here. And some of you have the same calling on your life. You're just scared to step into it, or you just may have not had a Pastor Keith that spoke it into existence in your life. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. They all talked about the what and the how and the, you know, it was fantastic, and we talked about prayer. But today I want to really ask you, what's holding you back? If I had to title my message today, that's my message. I didn't put any notes because I wanted you to listen, because this is very important for the direction that you want to go in your life. What is holding you back? What's keeping you from living a life of prayer? What's keeping you from surrendering to your Father in heaven? What's holding you back? And I want you to think of that. Think about that the entire time throughout this message. And I want to pray that God reveals something to you. So before we get started with Scripture, I want to take the time and let's pray before we get started. Father God, I thank you so much for this church. God, I thank you for Discovery and what we're doing in the community, God. And I thank you for how you're using us to be a vessel of yours, Father. God, I thank you that we can go out into the community and we can be different. Because God, you've called us to reach the people that are lost, regardless of what that looks like, God. We're gonna stop at nothing short but to reach your people, Father. And I pray right now that you can use us in a way that glorifies you, Father. I pray that everything that we do shows that you are there, that you love us, and that we're existing on this earth because you've created it that way, Father. And God, we just honor you. We love you. It is in your name we pray. Amen. So again, I ask you, what's holding you back? Hebrews 10:23-25, let us hold unswearingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. Everybody say small groups. As some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. That's important. Let's not forget meeting together. But let's not just meet together. Let's encourage one another. And I want to show you a picture. You know, Micah showed some pictures, so I figured I would. I'm going to show Jesus and the homies up here. This is Jesus. I found this online. It's Jesus and his disciples, and it's not everybody, but I wanted to show y'all that because that's his circle. That's his people. And sometimes we get so mixed up with who is in our circle and what our circle is. And I want to talk today about two types of circles. I want to talk about your support circle, and I want to talk about your social circle. And I promise you, this is going to step on your toes because it did mine. But first, before we get started, I want to do something that's fun. I bought some hula hoops. And this is a demonstration, so y'all go along with me here. And they light up, just so y'all are aware. They light up. So I want to ask Emma. You know, we tested some folks. You know, we had a trial. Let's see here. We did an audition this morning to see who could. Why is this thing doing this? Hold on. I'm going to. Hey, that's who you want in your circle right there. Amen. Hey, I'm going to do this because I don't like the wind. It feels like we're in a wind tunnel here. But I do want to ask Emma to come up. And I got, yeah, y'all give it up for Emma. Come on up here, Emma. You can't shy away now. You won the audition. And I want to first, before she starts doing this, I want y'all to look at these so y'all can see this ain't no magic trick. I didn't do anything to them. These are two circles. These are two hula hoops. They're the same exact ones because I bought them both from Walmart. And they both light up. Don't forget about the light up part. All right, so I'm going to ask Emma to do something for me real quick. Emma, if you could just hula hoop with that one. Oh, scoot up a little bit. I don't want to move Micah's stuff, but I'm going to have to move Micah's stuff. Yeah! Yeah! Keep on going. All right. So you see, this was once a circle. It's still kind of a circle. It's still a hula hoop. Its purpose is still intended to do the same thing. If you could, try to hula hoop with this. If it works, I'm running off stage. Because I had to go in somewhere, but I can't hula hoop, so I couldn't test it out. Oh, she can still do it. Hold on now. I told you I'm running off stage. Okay. Well, that one's running away. Okay, see, it didn't work as good that time. Thank you. Thank you, Emma. Hey, y'all give it up for her again. And the reason I wanted to show this, and I'm an illustration guy, I like to see stuff. And I like to have a visual. And I want to be able to touch the folks that like to see stuff. Sometimes people can get up here and talk, and you can get ran away, and you can get distracted. But I wanted you to see something real quick. Two circles, two hula hoops, two intended for the same purpose. But one was altered a little bit. So when we look at the complete circle, I want you to think about your support group. I want you to think about the people that you, what we call ride or die. These are folks I'm going to take into battle with me. These are folks that we're going to go through everything with. And then I want you to look at the one that we altered a little bit. The one we bent. And church, when she stepped into that one, When you step into your relationship, church, sometimes you're in the wrong setting. You got the wrong people talking into your life. They may look the same, but there's a difference between a support and the folks that are social. There's difference between people you want in your corner that's going to tell you what to do and how to do it, and they're going to challenge you. And then you got your group that's going to be just social. They just want to hang out. They just want to be cool. We want to go hang out. We want to go watch movies, and all that stuff's great. And you need those people because sometimes you just need to get away. But sometimes we're asking for advice from the wrong circle. Sometimes we're asking people to speak into our life that have no authority to do so. So what's holding you back? Who's in your circle? Who are the people that you are allowing to speak into your life? And I don't want you to get it mixed up, because it is very important. How many of you ever heard of unsolicited advice? How many of you have got advice about your job and the people that are giving you advice don't even work in it? It's kind of hard to listen, right? But sometimes we still do it. It's your circle. So I want to look at Mark. We're going to be in Mark 2, and I didn't put this in y'all's notes, so I'm sorry I threw you for a little curveball, but it's going to be okay. In Mark 2, I want to look, and this is a story about a man who was paralyzed. And so it says in Mark 2, verse 3, it says, some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man. They're talking about Jesus. Carried by four of them. Four men. I say it was men, I'm assuming, because I don't know if y'all have ever picked somebody up. But sometimes it's going to take more than four. And when y'all about to see what they've done, it's going to tell you it took some strength. So since they could not get to him, to Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. And then they lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. But I want to highlight something here. If this man right here, this paralyzed man, who couldn't get to Jesus at all, if he didn't have the right people in his circle, come on, church. Y'all are a little too quiet. I like it loud. But if he didn't have the right people in his circle, what would he have done? He still would have been sitting on that mat paralyzed. It's who you have in your corner. It's who you have fighting for you. And sometimes it's hard and you're in a dark place. And sometimes in that moment, you're going to find out who's in your corner. But I'm telling you right now, don't wait to that point. Just because somebody wants to hang out with you doesn't mean they got your best interest in mind. And I want to talk to some of the folks in here that their feelings get hurt easy. Offense is easy, and the devil wants you to have offense because he's going to rob you of your glory. But when you have folks like Chelsea, you know, I had to bring her up because she just called me out about this microphone. But when you have people like Chelsea that want to challenge you to be better for yourself, not for her own self-righteousness, it's not about her. She wants you to be great. And I'm not talking about just Chelsea here. I'm talking about your circle. What's holding you back? And it goes on to say, now some teachers of the law are sitting there, and why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. They're, obviously, you know, the unsolicited advice, these religious folks in the Bible think they're more religious than the son himself. It says, immediately Jesus knew his spirit, that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say this to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And there's so much importance in that. And I want to look at Jesus a little bit. I want to look at his circle, and obviously, you know, some of us, If you read through the New Testament and Jesus' walk on earth, most of the time you knew Jesus was the one giving advice to the disciples. Come on, let's just be honest. Well, obviously, if you're walking on the earth with Jesus, you know, obviously he's going to be giving you advice. But the important thing that I want y'all to note is Jesus was walking with people that he knew would go out and speak his word. He didn't just, he did pick some broken folks. He did pick disciples that were not the greatest. But he picked them for a reason. He knew what circle he needed. He knew who he needed in his corner that were going to fight. And, you know, obviously there's some differences, you know. Some of them didn't fight as much, but, you know. And some of them were hard to deal with. You're cutting ears off and everything else. It's a little different, you know, on the contrary. And I'm not saying everybody's perfect, and obviously that shows it there. And some folks in your circle's not going to be perfect either. But you need them there. What's holding you back? And I feel somebody in here in this moment, I feel like you need to hear that God's not against you. God's not against you. And sometimes that's hard to understand because of the circumstance that you're walking in right now. When it gets dark, when you pray, we just went through prayer. You know, they just did a very, very good job of describing it. But sometimes what happens when you just don't feel like doing it? What do you do next? Sometimes it's hard, but I want you to understand God's not against you. The devil wants you to think that. You're walking in a storm because that's the storm that God's going to deliver you out of. I promise all of you are 100% successful in every storm you've been here. You wouldn't be sitting here today. God's going to use you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And you think the Israelites wanted to believe this? They were in exile. I don't know about you. I've never been in exile, but I definitely wouldn't want to believe this. You got plans for what, God? This is not fun. And some of you may be in here saying today, you have no idea what I've been through or what I've done. But I'm here to tell you, God does. And I'm going to tell you this, he used the broken people for his glory. Amen? Amen. And if you don't believe me, just look. I mean, Moses, look at Moses. Moses was a murderer. But look what he done. I ain't parted any Red Seas lately, have y'all? Let's talk about David. No, actually, let's not talk about the man after God's own heart. Y'all know what he done? He was an adulterer. He had his best friend killed, or his best man killed on the battlefield. Let's talk about David a little bit. But this was a man after God's own heart. And you think he can't use you? You think he can't deliver you? You think you don't have a story? I ask you again, what's holding you back? Sometimes we have to get out of our own way and allow God to use us even in the dark times. And I just want to tell you today, your past circumstance don't define your future success. I'm going to say that again for y'all that didn't hear me. Your past circumstances do not define your future success. You have success placed on your life. You have greatness placed on your life. Everyone in this room has something special that God gave you. There's a purpose for you, or you wouldn't be here. He's not done with you. But sometimes we got to get out of our own way. I know, I said it. Sometimes you may be the problem. What's holding you back? Is it you? And it's hard to understand that. And it's hard to accept it. When I was studying this whole thing, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like, do I really want to say that? Do I have to say that, Lord? But sometimes it is so true. Sometimes we sit here and we sulk. And somebody is trying to speak into your life, and sometimes your circle can't be as strong as you need it to be because you're in it. It hurts. Very bad. It hurts. But sometimes that's the truth, because we want to stand in our own way. Have you ever met that person just so humble, you know? You know, like, man, you did a fantastic job, but, you know, it's the glory of God. And that's great, God did it all. But sometimes you can receive that, because sometimes what we do is we try to push our own self-confidence off on God, and then guess what? We're still broken. Sometimes you can accept what somebody says about you. Yeah. Not everybody's out to get you. Sometimes that's God's way of communicating to you. Sometimes God's trying to get through to you, but sometimes you put up a wall and you shut him out. And when I say you, I'm talking about all of us. I'm guilty of it every single day. And to be honest with you, if it was up to me and I submitted to it every single time, I wouldn't be up here today. Because to be honest with you, sometimes I don't feel worthy enough to even stand on this stage. But that's the good part about it. I'm not. But he is. And that's the same thing in your life, is you are worthy enough. You are called. Somebody in here wants to start a business. You're too scared. You think, I can't do that. You know, I've never been through the financial channel. I've never done this. I don't have a business degree. I don't have this. Stop giving yourself excuses. God just wants the best for you. God wants to use you. You know, we just did a series on, you know, faith under fire. And I love this series a lot. You know why? Because the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that's fantastic. You know, we get to see everybody else's struggles. And we get to see that they're still faithful and they're still trying, but you didn't see them in the darkness. Sometimes it's hard to come out of the darkness. You know, we see this story. But go ask some of them, what did you do? Did you still pray? Did you still talk to God? Because sometimes it's very difficult. So I want you to listen to what David said here in Psalms 23:4. And I never listened to it this way. And I've read this verse a million times, and you probably have too. But I felt God reveal it to me in a different direction this time. Psalms 23:4 says this. This is David writing. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, and that some of them, you know it. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, yeah, it's a different translation. It's NIV. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And when I was reading this, I just read it over and over again, and I was like, man, why does this verse come to me? Because sometimes you are in darkness. And so we have a 2-year-old, and we just recently went to Chattanooga, and we were out swimming at the pool. And how many of y'all know that your kid thinks they know what's best for them? You know, how many of y'all was that person? Hey, don't feel ashamed. I know I was that person. I still don't listen. Ask my wife. But while we were in Chattanooga, my 2-year-old was swimming by the pool, and I actually wasn't there. I left to go get food, and I expected them when I got back, because it didn't take me that long, I expected them to be still by the swimming pool. And apparently my 2-year-old had a fit because he wanted to run. How many of y'all know, as soon as your kid gets out of the swimming pool, the first thing they want to do is they want to dart off? I know my kids are like that. Hey, stop running, you're going to fall. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the darkest valley, some of you are running in your darkness. And God's just telling you, hey, just walk, because I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it for my glory. Some of you are trying to run. You're trying to run from me. But hey, I just want to use you in this moment. Just sit in it for a minute. Stop trying to run. And then that's what happens, is we turn our back and we take off running. But we think in ourselves that we know what's best for us instead of what God knows is best for us. He just wants you to walk. And it's hard. It's very difficult. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward before I close here. And so it's very difficult for us to just sit in it and walk. A couple months ago, I don't know exactly how long ago it was, my wife got super sick. She's sick off and on for 9 weeks. I think it's 9 weeks. And we ran back and forth to doctors, and we try to get, you know, as much help as we can. And every single time we went there, it was the same answer. We're going to run this test. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. 9 weeks, church, 9 weeks. And in that moment, it was very difficult. I was like, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're trying to do. And to be honest with you, it got dark. It got very dark for me in general, because every morning, the woman I love, the woman that I do everything with, the one that makes us stronger, is hurting so bad, and I can't do anything. How many of you men know that that's all we want to do is fix it? And we just want to make it better, and you can't. And in that moment, you know, y'all just got done talking about prayer, and that's fantastic. But in that moment, I didn't want to pray. Even though I knew the only answer to my problem that was going to fix it was God, and I didn't even want to talk to Him. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to just press in and say, God, I surrender. God, I want to pass this over to you. You know why God was using that in that moment? Because I wanted to have control. I wanted to fix it. And to be honest with you, we still didn't get the answer we wanted. We still didn't. To be honest, we don't even know we got an answer. But I just know she's better every morning. You know, the wisest words somebody once told me is said, when you don't feel like praying and you don't feel like doing it, guess what? Just do it. Well, that sucks because I don't want to do it. What do you mean? What kind of advice is that? You don't go to no seminar, tell somebody that. They're going to look at you and laugh. But it's so true. It's so true. Sometimes you just got to press in and you just got to pray. So I want to ask you to stand to your feet as I get ready to close. I want the prayer team to come forward. I want to read 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. You know what's funny is when I started reading this, I was like, That's three verses. Because it is kind of short. It says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Even when you don't feel like rejoicing. Pray continually. Even when you feel like your back's against the wall and the whole world's against you. When you feel like you've been praying and God's just not listening, pray anyways. Give thanks in all your circumstances. That's one to laugh about right there, isn't it? You're like, yeah, okay. But if we see it from the lens of what the Lord is trying to do, in all of your circumstances, be thankful. Why? Because somebody else is going to be healed from your story. If it's for the one, it's worth it. That's why we do all of this. It's for the one that's lost. Because you were once that one. And you were once lost. And we're about to close with a song, and I just felt led when I was rehearsing this or going through my notes and what I wanted to say. And I texted Micah. Well, first I got to ask, you know, because hey, can y'all do this? You know, like, are you able to sing this song? Because I don't know, man. Micah won't let me on the worship team, so I just can't figure it out. So, and I promise y'all wouldn't come back if I was on the worship team. But I do want to look at the lyrics here before we read this, or before we sing this song, before they go into worship. And the reason I want to look at this lyrics, because oftentimes we get blurred and we just sing words until somebody says, hey, just actually listen to the lyrics. How many of you ever heard somebody says, hey, you know, just listen to this? And then you actually pay attention to what the words are saying and seeing how much power is in them. It says, because all my life you have been faithful. And I'm not going to sing it, Micah. I'm just going to say it. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Can I get an amen? Because that's powerful. Whatever circumstance you're walking through, whatever struggle you have, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you've been good. And I feel somebody in here in this morning, you're sitting here thinking, I don't know. I don't know if he's been good in my life. I don't know if he's done anything for me. You know, I've walked through this. I've struggled with depression. I've struggled with addiction. I've seen people die and not get their healing. But the thing is you don't understand. They got their healing. Stop holding yourself back because of their healing's already came. We get in our own way. And you got to step out and just say, God, I just want to surrender. Maybe you don't pray often. Maybe you are going through something right now and you just haven't prayed. I want to challenge you today. And I don't want you to look at anybody else in this room. And I don't want to let anybody else hold you back from your opportunity. Because your opportunity is about to come. As soon as we start singing these lyrics, you can go to the prayer team. They're all around this room. And you have an opportunity to just surrender and just lay it down at the feet of Jesus. And I promise you, nobody in here is judging you. Nobody cares. We just want you to experience your freedom. We just want you to experience your opportunity to just lay it down and say, I know what's holding me back. And I ask you again, and that's why I wanted you to think about this all the way through this sermon. And I asked it several times, so you had time to do your homework. What's holding you back? And I want to challenge you to go to this prayer team this morning. And I want you to tell them what's holding you back. I want you to talk to your Father. If you're uncomfortable, that's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable. Because that's where growth starts. That's where healing begins. So I'm going to pray. They're going to go into worship. And you can take your opportunity to go just talk to your Father. And I want you to surrender like you've never surrendered before. And I want you to lay it all over to Him, because I promise you, your freedom is waiting on you. Your opportunity is waiting on you. You just got to receive it. Father God, thank you so much, God, that your word never does return void. Even when we're in the darkness, God, and we feel like our back's against the wall and the world's against us, and we can't keep pushing forward, and we don't know what to do, and it's been going on for so long, God, I just want to pray. I want to pray against the voices that the devil is trying to creep in and say, hey, you're not worthy enough. God doesn't love you. He started in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, when he started talking to Adam and Eve And he's still doing it today. God, I pray right now that he has no victory in this room. God, I pray right now that you intervene. Holy Spirit, move in this building. God, I pray that you change somebody's heart from the inside out. God, I pray that when they leave here today, they see an opportunity that you have given us. God, I want to pray against any addiction. God, I want to pray against any depression. I want to pray against any chains that is holding somebody hostage. God, and I want to pray that they just receive your glory and your mercy. God, I want to thank you that you're going to use them to be a vessel in this world. As your word says, go forth and make disciples of all nations. God, I pray right now, the Lord, that the disciples are made today, God, that we can go out into this kingdom and we can touch people and we can change lives, God, because you are good. It takes every one of us, Lord, in a broken world right now, God, and I just pray that we can receive it. Father God, we love you. We honor you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
For your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. You have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Led me through the fire in the darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness. Been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will see of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running out. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. When my life laid down, I surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running. The goodness of God. the goodness of
God. It's not too late. It's not too late for you to receive prayer. But we are going to continue it so we don't have them little rascals over there ready to beat the doors down trying to get out. But I just want to say this before we go. Please don't be in your own way. Please don't allow yourself to rob you from the glory that God wants to give you. So,